Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We come to H time. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Going for two. Snap. Burrow in the pocket. Burrow, soft toss. It is incomplete. Right side throw to Hudson. Fall to the turf. The Ravens stop the Bengals. 35-34, Baltimore in front with 38 seconds to play.
Now that was a Thursday night game last night. That was some.
Oh my gosh!
That was a way to get a football Friday kicked off, my friend.
It was really a Thursday night football half because it wasn't. Yeah. It didn't feel like it was going to be much of a game.
No,
especially the Ravens secondary battered up. Kyle Hamilton goes down. Jamar Chase is having his way with the Ravens. And not that you ever expect the Ravens to be completely out of it, but I'm sure it was mentioned on the broadcast last night. I didn't have a sound on that much. The reputation of the Ravens used to be, hey, when they're down, that's it. You can't rely on them to pass to get back in the game. Yeah, Lamar Jackson goes 7 for 7 in the second half.
Yeah, and, he's playing at another level this year. Even for him, you know, like his. His numbers passing the football are remarkable this year.
It's scary. I mean, they basically ran the Joe Mixon wildcat play on one play, except that it was Lamar freaking Jackson. Yeah. That's the problem. Yeah. It's that the problem with Lamar Jackson is that every play is wildcat.
Yes.
They're like, well, all right, well, instead of a quarterback out lined up wide, you've got another actual wide receiver out lined
up
wide.
That's right.
And the defensive backs get their eyes stuck in the backfield, and off you go.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, that long. Yeah, that 50-plus yard run he had in the second half, I mean, you just see what he does to secondaries. Those guys, I felt like by the time Lamar Jackson got down near the red zone, the defensive backs for the Bengals were just then realizing that Lamar was running the ball.
You're talking about the one where he ran it down to the 1 yard line.
Yeah. It was because they're so screwed up in the head.
Yeah.
It turns their brains to mush. They don't know what to do with him.
Yeah.
And now he's got Derrick Henry next to him.
It's crazy. You know, in watching that game, any game I'm watching, Seth, that involves teams that are in the mix in the AFC. I sit and I watch it through a Texans lens. There's half of me is just enjoying the game because it's the best reality TV on TV, the NFL, and half of me is watching it through a Texans lens. And look, I know everybody's frustrated with the Texans and the offensive line and everything else. It is fun to be in the mix here where you're going, okay, how do we stack up with this team? Boy, is this team going to catch us? You know, do we have to worry about the Bengals now in a first round matchup? You know, that kind of thing. And I'm watching that game last night, and my big takeaway, and keep in mind, this is a game that the Bengals lost And they had Ja'Marr Chase go 11 catches for 264 yards and three touchdowns. They had a receiver go for nearly 300 yards and three scores, and they lost the game. And if you watched the game last night, the final score was 35-34 Baltimore. And we're going to get to the Texans here in just a second, but this is a Texans take. I watched that game last night, and as you pointed out about the Ravens have been a really good team for a long time now with Lamar Jackson, but the games against good teams had to unfold in a certain way, or else they didn't have a really good chance at winning. They needed a certain game script to win these games.
Yeah,
I watched this game last night, and I'm like, well, that's a type of game the Texans aren't equipped to win right now. A back-and-forth shootout in the second half of games. Those teams scored more touchdowns in the fourth quarter than the Texans have scored in the second half all season, it felt like.
It was unbelievable how much scoring there was in the second half. I got tired of scoring in the second half.
I didn't know you were allowed to do that. You're allowed to score in the second half of football games.
Why did they just keep scoring touchdowns and attempting two-point conversions?
Am I exaggerating? No, there were five touchdowns. There were seven touchdowns scored in the second half of that football game. That's more touchdowns than the Texans have scored in the second half of football games all season long. They've scored six.
Man. You know what? In the old book on the Ravens, you know, just abandoning the run when the run is working for them, all that. You look at the scoring drives in the second half when the Ravens were down two touchdowns. I mean, they started off that first touchdown drive running the ball a few times. Second touchdown drive, they started the ball. They ran Derrick Henry twice. Lamar Jackson scrambled. They're just a complete and absolute headache and nightmare right now.
Yeah,
Offensively. Defensively, they got some questions and concerns.
They do, and some injuries now, too. Kyle Hamilton's banged up, so we'll see. My other takeaway, Texans-related, is that I wasn't sure who to root for in this game, Texans-wise. You know, okay, do we root for the neither of these teams are even leading the division right now, but, okay, do we root for the Ravens? Do we root for the Bengals? Like, the Bengals, if they'd won, they'd be 5-5. The Ravens would be 6-4. And I think the fact that I didn't really know who to root for or even look up, like, who should the Texans... It's a little early, I admit that. I think it's part and parcel of where the Texans are right now. They're, like, standings-wise, they're going to make the playoffs, and they're going to be hemmed in as the four seed, and they're going to be the AFC South champs, which many, many skeptical Texan fans would say, well, that's what the Texans are. When they make the playoffs, they're the four seed. They're the AFC South champs.
They play Saturday afternoon.
You can set your watch to it, and they're going to say, I was told this was going to be different. And I would remind those people, this is just year two that the Texans have been... Before you go and say, like, that's just who the Texans are, I'll remind everybody that in 2020, 2021, and 2022, they weren't even close to this. Yeah. So they, like, there are some good things going on with the Texans, right?
And I think that, look, it just this, boy, I'm trying to get a gauge on the fan sentiment. And you got the diehards who are, dyed in the wool. Texans are going to win, you idiots. How could you not think otherwise?
Yep.
I'd say the majority are kind of approaching this. They're approaching this game like they're walking up on a car accident and they're not sure what they're going to see inside.
Yeah.
They're like, okay, I don't want to see a dead body today. Please don't let me see a dead body. It's a dead body. It's decapitated.
That's not how I wanted to spend my Sunday night. No.
There's a chance the Texans walk up on that car wreck and it was all just a YouTube streamer prank, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just some super rich 21-year-old. With lots of tattoos, and he's just laughing his face off.
Okay? Are we conceding that Nico Collins and Will Anderson will not play in this game on Sunday? Or is that? For those who don't know, they didn't practice again yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I've braced myself for, and then that's what I've also allowed myself to dream about, which is that if you can pull this off versus the Lions at home, where you've played better this year, you've been cleaner, your offensive line hasn't made so many boneheaded mistakes.
You haven't lost at home since week 12 of last year.
If you can pull this game off without Nico Collins and Will Anderson, I will be a stark, raving, lunatic, psychotic Just unbelievably through the roof. Probably kind of hard to listen to on Monday morning.
Good.
I will look at this as the pivot point where everything got right for the Texans.
Yeah, I think, I mean, look, we've got 4 hours, so that we're going to skew into the fear and the negativity of this game, I'm sure, at various points throughout the show. Don't worry.
On Monday, we've only got 2 hours. That's why I got to really pack
you
all
gotta
the...
You got to bring it, yeah.
Pack all the insane, psychotically celebrating into 2 hours. Yeah.
Yes, you got to cram it in there. But from a positive perspective, this is a massive opportunity for this team. You are at home. You haven't lost two in a row in a long, long time. You do bounce back from losses pretty well. Everybody out there thinks you're losing this game. You know, I know you watch those NFL preview videos that are like 5 or 6 minutes long with all the stats in them. The funny guy,
little narrator. Yeah. Makes a lot of 90s and references. Yeah.
He's like really funny. He's good. And then at the very end, they take all the NFL.com experts, all 10 of them.
The so-called experts, Sean.
The so-called experts. And they flash up what they think the final score is going to be with the logo of the team they're picking to win. Nine out of the 10 picked the Lions in this game. So you...
Who was 10?
I forget who picked them. I don't remember. Okay. I'll go back and look it up. My point is that the world thinks you're losing this game. This is a huge opportunity to erase whatever negative feelings there have been over the last few weeks of CJ getting his ass kicked. And one thing D'Amico said this week that I thought was a little bit, I thought was a little bit of a mischaracterization of the emotion out there with the fan base is when he said that, I guess there's this narrative out there that we're not a good football team. There's not a narrative out there that you're not a good football team. There's a reality that if your offensive line keeps playing like this, C.J. Stroud is going to get killed on the field. And I think that's why, I'm just speaking for myself and others that I talk to, it's not losing to the Packers. It's not even losing to the Jets, although that's, you know, that's less excusable. I mean, the Jets have good players. It's a road game. It's a Thursday night. You can come up with a number of reasons. It's the long season. You lose games like that. Unless you're the Kansas City Chiefs, you lose games like that during the season. Even the Ravens lost to the Raiders in week two. So, but it's the CJ factor in all this. It's that he's getting physically harmed. I think there's evidence if you rewatch the games that he's getting psychologically harmed out there. That's the issue. It's not that we think you're a bad football team. It's that there's this major issue with the team, and we're being told every week that it's been fixed and it's going to get fixed. And boy, we had this long week now. Bobby Slowick yesterday, we had this long week, and we came to the realization on a lot of things. All right, well, why is this week's realizations different than any of the other previous weeks? So that's kind of where I'm at, Seth, with this game. It is a major opportunity for this team to erase a lot of the bad feelings. And by God, that's what I'm rooting for. I hope we come in here Monday. I hope you are as obnoxious as you are promising on Monday because they won this game. But we're 4 weeks now into being told that things are fixable and they're going to get fixed. That's why the feeling is the way it is, because it directly involves the future of the franchise, C.J. Stroud, and him getting harmed. For me.
Right. Yeah, there are a lot of... I mean, this is the one where it feels like maybe you seal the fate on exactly how Bobby Slowick's going to be treated for the rest of the season.
Correct.
The discussions we're going to have about all of this. Are you irreparably damaging C.J. Stroud if he ends up throwing for fewer than 50% and he gets bludgeoned? Is C.J. Stroud himself increasingly to blame? There's a lot all coming to a head right now.
Yep.
It was the one NFL person at the end of that, the NFL Network person.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
Went Texans was Akbar Bajabiamila.
Oh, the former player. He's on Good Morning Football. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, we like him. The other nine can, as you would say, go die. For picking the Detroit.
I admire his pluck and his willingness to go against the grain and the spread.
In
a straight up pick.
Yeah. I got to check real quick if the spread has changed on this game. The Texans and the Lions. It's still 3.5. Still
it seems like it was already kind of baked into the spread, most likely that Nico Collins and Will Anderson might not play. I know that one guy individually isn't going to move the line usually, but both those guys being such big impact players, I thought it might.
Yeah, maybe so. I mean, that may have been what pushed it from 3 to 3.5 is those two guys being out. All right, well, we're off and running on a football Friday. We're excited, man. Games this Sunday, 7:20 kick. You can hear it here on Sports Radio 610. Up next, we'll dig into the game, six-pack. We will get into some keys to the game. I'll give my prediction. Seth stews on his prediction for the next few hours and gives that to you at the end of the show. We'll do that coming up next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, let's dig into this actual matchup. What is the roadmap for a Texans win on Sunday against the Lions? This was the game I had circled. This was the home game I had been most looking forward to. I'm still looking forward to it, but I thought it would be... I didn't think the Texans would be 3.5-point underdogs and the world would be against them going into it. But that could make it fun. If they can pull off the upset, that makes Sunday night and Monday a whole lot of fun, and they've certainly got a chance. So, Seth, here are my five things plus a prediction in the six-pack. Here we go. They got to heat up Jared Goff somehow, and as a result, win the turnover battle. Like, Jared Goff has been awesome this year. Here's Nick Caserio on Texans All Access earlier this week on the Lions quarterback.
Jared was the number one pick for a reason. Right. He's a really good football player. Sometimes you have some lulls. Sometimes you need to change the scenery. Seems to have been reinvigorated, and they've done a good job of just kind of setting up the system, kind of playing to his strengths. And Jared's a very smart, very efficient, very accurate quarterback that takes care of the football. And then they've buried it with Ben's system, and he's played at a high level over the last few years, I would say. So he's a big reason that they're effective offensively. So Jared's a really good football player. Then they signed him to a contract extension in the offseason as well to kind of show their commitment to him. So sometimes there's some narratives that are out there about a player and what's going to happen or what do you think they're going to do. But ultimately, teams are going to do and make the decisions that they feel are best for them. And say it looks like they made the right decision with Jared, no question.
They got to win the turnover battle. I think the key to that is getting to Jared Goff. The problem is there's no Will Anderson to help get to, it would appear. There's going to be no Will Anderson.
Yeah,
to
and look, in the Texans this year defensively, they've gotten a lot of pressure on quarterbacks, and they've done it with way more blitzing on third down, especially than I would have expected out of DeMeco Ryans' defense. This is a dicey offense to blitz. They tend to have options, and they've got a really good offensive line that does a great job of protecting Jared Goff. So whatever weaknesses you have, when you blitz, you better be dialed in because they can really make you pay for it. I think that Jared Goff, the one frustrating thing that I see when I compare these guys to the Texans is, man, the Lions use play action really effectively. And gosh, does that help a quarterback out. The Texans are not using play action much at all. When you think about, Kyle Shanahan type scheme, and they're going to run the ball and they're going to set up play action off of it. The Texans simply haven't used it that much, partly because I think they're bad at selling it. Nobody respects them versus the run. They're not loading up with eight guys in the box. So when they try to run play action, the linebackers and safeties are kind of like, all right. I'm just going to hang back out here and see what happens. Give it a whirl, and then I'm going to come up and destroy your offensive lineman and tackle whoever you hand the ball off to, or I'll be in coverage, whatever.
Dude, there was a play in the Colts game back in Week 8 where they ran play action. They ran the classic Kubiak play action where it was like a stretch play to the left.
Yeah.
CJ pulls the ball and then rolls back out to the right, and they sold it perfectly. Like, everybody from the Colts went left. And TJ hadn't even thrown the ball, and the crowd was already cheering. It was like because they executed a play where CJ didn't have three guys on top of him, and then I was disappointed because CJ ended up dumping it to Cade Stover for like 4 yards. He had digs downfield.
Yes.
Dumped it down. He dumped it to Stover. I'm like, oh, you're going to get like two of these a game, man. Like, take a shot.
So when it comes to Goff, look, I mean, there's no magic recipe to beating these guys, getting pressure on him and getting home on the pass rush like the Texans have been doing all year long. It's just it's risky. And the Texans, look, they've allowed 19 passing touchdowns this season, the Texans have. That's an NFL high. In the red zone, the Texans are ranked 30th in red zone defense. So the big play and the deep strike, Jameson Williams comes back from suspension, all of these things, you're very much on red alert when you do blitz this week.
All right, number two, tackle. You have to, and that's something that has been a theme all week long. Jimmy Ward was talking about it in his media session. Here's D'Amico Ryans talking about it in his Wednesday press conference.
Yeah, their offensive line do a really good job of running off the football. They're big guys, big offensive linemen that cover guys up well. And, you know, credit to their backs. Two really good backs, both, you know, Gibbs, very explosive, you know, home run runner. And then you got the other guy who's just, man, downhill, tough, physical. So both of the guys, they run hard, they're physical. I think they may have the most yards after contact. You know, they find a way to get yards. And it's one thing for us as a defense, you know, we have to do a really good job of tackling. People have been there, they've been on these guys, but they have done a great job of making guys miss tackles. So we have to swarm, we have to tackle. It's going to take more than one person to get their backs down. They've done a really great job. Talk about a 1-2 punch. It's probably the best 1-2 punch in the league.
So based on NFL Next Gen stats, the stats for broken tackles are kind of all over the place depending on website. But David Montgomery, it matches the eyeball test.
Yeah.
He's the other guy that D'Amico is talking about.
Yep.
He's fifth in the league in broken tackles right now. And Jahmyr Gibbs, the other running back, is very, very fast. He's recorded the second fastest run all season long on a 70-yard touchdown run a couple weeks ago. They're a headache. And the Texans right now, they started off. I was so excited about them in preseason and in the first couple weeks of the season, how much they improved their tackling. And now all of a sudden you look up and they've been horrible tacklers again.
Yeah.
They're allowing 3.45 yards after contact. That's 30th in the league. They've allowed 35 runs of 10-plus yards. They're giving up way too much easy yardage just by lazy tackling.
Yep.
Very non-swarm-like tackling.
Very non-swarm-like, and D'Amico in that cut was only talking about the backs, but their passing game, the Lions, is designed to get a lot of guys short and medium passes on the run, yards after catch. They've got to tackle, man. They have to tackle well.
It's the most boring key to victory you can talk about because it's, they've got to play fundamental football.
Right, until they don't do it, and then it's not boring anymore.
Hey, what do you need to do to win versus one of the best teams in the NFL? I don't know. Do the stuff that we were taught in high school.
Yeah, and like
can we do
grade.
That, please?
Yep. All right, number three, keys to the game here, the six-pack special teams. Here was Frank Ross, Texan special teams coach, yesterday, talking about Detroit's special teams.
Different coordinators are some of the top tier special teams coaches you play against and some of the best returners or whatever. This week, Dave Phipp is currently, without a shred of doubt, in my opinion, the best special teams coach in the NFL. He's the most creative. He's the most disciplined. He knows how to find a roster full of players. They're aggressive. They got the best returner going in the NFL, and Khalif Raymond. They got the highest paid special teams player in the NFL, and Jalen Reeves-Maybin, a familiar face around here as well. And they play the right way. And they nullify yards. The longest return that they've given up is 11 yards. So for having the best punter in the NFL, 11 yards is a pretty darn good coverage unit. So all four phases, aggressive, the coach, man, got our hands full.
Okay,
can't wait to see what we can do.
So they're good at everything. Great offense, great defense. And Frank Ross, special teams coach, is completely putting over their special teams coach as better than all the other special teams coaches.
Honestly, I know. Look, D'Amico does a thing every week, when he's on his coach's show, where he kind of gives a rundown of the upcoming opponent.
Yeah.
And D'Amico just sounded so genuinely impressed by the Lions, almost that you start to feel like, all right, hey, that's enough, D'Amico. Just find out a way to hate this team.
Yeah.
And it's hard. When you watch the Lions, as a fan of football, you're watching, you're like, wow, this is a smooth running machine.
Yeah.
This is really well coached in all three phases. Yeah, I mean, Aaron Glenn, one of my favorite people in football, is a defensive coordinator for the Lions, and that's making it harder for me.
Yep.
But it's almost gotten to the point where I've watched them enough and I admire them enough that I'm starting to despise them.
Yeah,
I'm starting to let a little of that old high school jealousy creep in.
Okay,
oh, this is the class president and the captain of the football team everybody loves. Yeah. I'm gonna frame him, make it look like he cheated on his term paper.
I was able to find five reasons to hate the Lions for later in the show, but I may just eliminate one of them and say, they're too good. They're too good.
Sean, even this? Okay, so we're talking about special teams, right?
Yeah.
Versus the Bucs this year, midway through the second quarter, down by seven, on their own 10-yard line, 15-yard line, the Lions decide to fake punt. And
ballsy.
Go for it.
Yeah.
And got it.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of a stupid but magnificent move was that? They'll do anything.
They're very aggressive.
So there's opportunities there, but you gotta have your head on a swivel, man.
Yeah. I don't anticipate the Texans winning the special teams battle, but I think especially with no Nico Collins, they're going to have to find some of those invisible yards, you know, whether it's turnovers that give them short fields or whether it's a big return, a blocked punt, you know, something. They're going to need they're going to need something to help kind of, you know, shorten the box score there for them. All right, that's number 3. Number 4. This is just simple. Bobby Slowick, just do something. Like, I said it yesterday. This is a Bobby Slowick game. Bobby Slowick needs to come into this game with a satchel of plays that an undermanned team can run and scheme guys open who maybe aren't as good as the guys they're going against. You know, like, we're in week 10 now, man. We're in week 10. Have something up your sleeve here for this game. You're going against the best team in football, and you were Ben Johnson is sitting there doing interviews where he's talking about handpicking the job he's going to go to. That was Bobby Slowick a year ago at this time, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was in that conversation, and now he's not anymore. And so this is a big opportunity for Bobby Slowick on Sunday night.
It really is. With Joe Mixon coming back and running for 100 yards every time he starts a football game for the Texans, I do wonder, at some point, are we going to start to see an effective play-action game? Are we going to start to see a well-balanced offense that looks like something like he's trying to install? And I don't know, maybe a new left guard is really that much of a big of a pendulum swinger. I mean, so many of the things that they've had to do in pass protection, in the run game, even the types of play actions that they run, I think a lot of it has been to protect some real deficits on the interior offensive line, most notably Kenyon Green.
Yep.
It almost seems unbelievable that a left guard could make that much of a difference, but I think they've made a lot of concessions to try to mask that issue. So, yeah, I'm wide open to the possibilities that they could click differently and be a different type of football team if Jarrett Patterson...
Just average.
Are you an average guy?
Yep.
Can you be an average offense? And then we'll work from there, okay?
Yeah, yep.
You're a second-year player playing a new position, but just be average.
Yes, yeah, and these two probably go together. I said number 4 is just do something, Bobby Slowick, but I think it's almost tied to the next one, which will always be, until they prove they can do it, protect C.J. Stroud. And the big thing about this one in protecting C.J. Stroud, and we don't know yet if Za'Darius Smith is going to play in this game. He's missed practice both days this week.
He had to travel a long ways.
Defensive end. It's not walking or biking. It's airplanes.
You got to bend around the Great Lakes there, don't you?
From Cleveland to Detroit? Yeah.
Yeah, isn't it? Or is it a straight shot? Oh, I think it might be a straight shot.
I think you're allowed to go straight. Yeah. So Za'Darius Smith, of course, the defensive end the Lions traded for earlier this week from the Browns. I he hasn't practiced yet this week. You know, can he get in for 15 snaps and say, just go after C.J. Stroud? Maybe. But the bottom line is C.J. Stroud, protecting C.J. Stroud, not only for the sake of the sacks, but if C.J. is pressured, he's looked jittery at times these last three games. The Lions have a safety duo that will take advantage of bad decisions. If you force throws, if you throw one up there, if you're trying to get rid of it to avoid a sack, Brian Branch and Kirby Joseph have 10 interceptions between the two of them right now.
Yeah. And Brian Branch is a violent fella.
He is.
He got ejected last week for just a hell of a targeting hit.
He got his money's worth. Yeah,
it was an impressive hit.
It was.
Actually, it was pretty, honestly, the ball was so bad. It was a dirty hit. You can argue about the ejection all you want. I feel like Tom Brady and Troy Aikman are the two quarterback commentators who try to make a point of like, hey, I might be a former quarterback, but I like tough football too.
Yeah.
That was unacceptable. Okay, I don't think he should have got. I would have taken that hit and not whined and complained about it one bit.
This is why you need to watch on the YouTube or the Twitch. Seth has his hands like on his kidneys.
Resting
right?
In my ribs.
Yeah, like on his kidneys. And he's swinging his elbows back and forth. It's pretty good.
So, and Za'Darius Smith, you got to remember, he had to get from Cleveland to Detroit. Yeah, as the crow flies, it would be a quick shot, but you got to drive around Lake Erie, and you got to go through Toledo. So I'm guessing that's where he got injured.
You think he drove?
Yeah, Toledo, man. Nothing good happens in Toledo.
Stopped at a truck stop and got some chips and some
sodas. Why would he not drive? It's a two-hour drive.
Uh-huh.
Why would you fly to Detroit from Cleveland?
Because some people don't like driving like you do. I love driving.
But when you got all your stuff with you, I don't know. I'm not going to wait for the movers to arrive 3 days later because I had to go from Cleveland to Detroit.
Yeah, maybe. Is this true? 151 pressures per next gen stats that the Texans have allowed this year?
That's all. Yeah. Just is that a lot? Just a lot. That's the worst in the NFL per next gen stats. Yeah. The Texans have pressured. Next gen stats are interesting for the Texans because the Texans have provided the most pressure defensively, but they've allowed it. They've just negated themselves.
Yep.
Completely.
Yep.
It's nice to see symmetry on a football team.
It is.
That's complementary football.
Symmetry.
Look, hey, we're going to lead the league in pressures over here on defense, and you guys go ahead and allow the most pressures over there on offense.
It's nice. It really is. It is.
It's like a little yin and yang symbol right there.
Yeah, the two little drops there that form a circle. Yeah, I like that. My prediction on this game.
Give it.
Lions 37, Texans 24.
You're a hater.
Well, it's until I don't like being told 4 weeks in a row that something's been fixed that clearly is getting worse.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like
no,
that's.
No, I'm joking about.
No, I know you
hater,
are. I know
you're
you are.
You're cold realist is what you are.
I hate to be that way, but I, you know, like were I not emotionally attached to the Texans, I would really, really think about making a recreational wager of epic proportions on this. So, but that's where I feel about it right now. And nobody wants to be proven wrong more than I. Okay, So that's where I am right now with this. Prove me wrong, Texans. Prove me wrong. All right, headlines. Let's get to it. The injury report for the Texans. Some of it not great. Some of it decent. We'll talk about that. A big name back in the NFL this weekend. Thursday Night Football was a banger. And the Rockets make a move to kind of loosen things up in the rotation a little bit. We'll talk about that coming up next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, let's start it off with the Texans. The injury report, not great. Nico Collins, Will Anderson did not practice yesterday. And all indications are that they will not play on Sunday. And I say that only because D'Amico Ryans was very clear earlier this week on his coach's show that guys need to practice throughout the week, his exact words, if they're going to play on Sunday. Now, who knows? It's not a binding contract or anything. If one of them feels good enough and they want to put him out there, then so be it. Will Anderson's the one that's a bit of a mystery right now. We've not gotten any reports as to how he's progressing from his ankle injury, Seth. Nico Collins, there's actually been reports and video of him working out that would indicate that he's ready to go. And so the question would be, well, then why aren't you playing him this weekend against the Lions? I think that this is a function of the reality of the Texans situation right now, which is they're 6-3. There's virtually no chance they're catching the Chiefs for a bye in the first round. There was still a bye for the first and the second seeds, then maybe they're playing this a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. But the Chiefs are going to wind up winning 14 games this year, probably. You know what I mean? Like you have to sweep the rest of the season to win 14 games. So I think this is, my guess is, it's purely a guess, is that D'Amico is going, look, Nico is a guy who's a little injury prone. It's a hamstring, which is tricky. And the main thing we need to do right now is A, fix our offensive line, and B, win the games we're supposed to win. And starting next week, the Cowboy game on Monday with no Dak Prescott, and then two very, very, very winnable division games after that, I think this Nico decision is more about those three games, and particularly the two division games, than it is about the Lions game on Sunday.
This is D'Amico, when you're a head coach with a really good player who's got an injury like a hamstring where you should be as conservative as possible, it feels like you're stuck in one of those dicey ethical scenarios where you got to really try to abide by two different sets of rules. There's the one part of you that wants it now. I want to win this game right now, but I got to also have this separate side of me that plays this. It's almost like being an ethical lawyer where you're like, we could just, kid, this guy's got a lot of money. We just could keep racking up legal fees, but really I should tell him to settle, and yet, my God, we're making so much money.
These hourly rates,
D'Amico at this point has got to say, like, yes, but the best thing for the client and the team at large is probably to hold out Nico Collins.
Yes.
And I'm cool with that. It sucks in the moment, but there's no part of me that... I saw some people yesterday on X, I think I was making a point that I really want Nico to play, and they're saying, like, hey, Seth, you got to be careful. Yeah, I get that. I don't want them to push the envelope. I'm just hoping that he feels so awesome that they're like, yeah, listen, we're just going to hold him in reserve. We're going to let the Lions think we don't have him. And then we're going to do our patented deep strike to Nico on the first play of the game.
Yeah. I like watching good football. The Texans put a much better product on the field offensively when Nico Collins is out there. I mean,
even when they're not good offensively, at least Nico's still going off.
He's entertaining. Yeah. He absolutely is. Names that are back for the game. Or appears will play in the game on Sunday. Jarrett Patterson, he was full go again yesterday. Azeez Alshire and Jimmy Ward both back. Jeff Okuda and Jerry Hughes both practiced yesterday. They've had their practice windows opened here coming back from injured reserve. So hopefully there's some reinforcements, non-Nico and non-Will, that'll be there. But game on Sunday, it kicks off at 7:20. You can hear it right here on Sports Radio 610. Thursday Night Football last night, another game you heard here on Sports Radio 610. One of the most entertaining second halves of the year. The game itself for a while, you're right, you pointed this out. Like, first half was a little, the Bengals looked like, the Bengals were up by two touchdowns in this thing at one point, and the Ravens couldn't get out of first gear. They were punting and punting and punting, and then next thing you know, they weren't anymore. And these two teams got into a shootout in the fourth quarter of this game. They scored a combined 34 points in the fourth quarter of this football game, and the Ravens come out on top 35-34 to kind of, Seth, push the Bengals to the brink here. The Bengals are 4-6 right now, and they're a good football team, and they're 4-6.
And they righted the ship from a lot of the things that weren't working for them early in the season, and yet, man, twice this year, the Bengals, they've tried two different strategies defensively. They tried to blitz them the first time around. This time, they tried to play a little bit more passive, keep everything in front of you. And one of the issues with keeping everything in front of you is that Lamar Jackson just has, they took away the deep shot. Yeah. Lamar's just going to run for 50 yards. Yeah. That's what I'll do.
Yeah, dude. It's
Lamar runs. I love watching him run downfield because it's like, I realized last night? When he runs downfield, he looks like Le'Veon Bell used to look in the backfield.
He's so selective, patiently just
picking his next lane.
Yeah.
And then he hits that lane, and then he stops and collects himself and kind of waits to see what will develop. He's just, it's a choose-your-own-adventure when he runs downfield.
It is. We had a couple people point out, because you talked about that run before from last night, and if you watch the highlights, that it'll be on there, that you said it was a 50-yard run. It was actually we had a few people point this out. It's actually, they're like, hey, I mean, it's actually only like a 20-yard run. No, but he ran like 50 yards. Like, he ran backwards.
We're not dealing with actual facts and numbers here. Only the way things feel. And that felt like a 275-yard run.
100% did. Yes, it absolutely did. It absolutely did. Hey, other news in the NFL. Christian McCaffrey expected to return on Sunday against Tampa Bay. So San Francisco is, I won't say, going to have their full complement of weapons. Brandon Ayuk, obviously, towards ACL. He's done for the year. But they'll get Christian McCaffrey back. The 49ers will. We'll see how he looks, see how he feels. The Rockets.
How long was that run?
I think it was like 20 something. He only ran for 33 yards last night. He was 7 carries for 33 yards. Yeah.
It
felt like a 50-yard run.
I had two drinks last night, and these days that's like I might as well have been on my 21st birthday or something.
I know, you don't drink very much.
I finished. I was like learning how to drink moderately and everything. It turns out that aging just does it for you.
There you go.
You're like,
There you go.
really shouldn't have had that last 3 ounces of beer.
Right.
Yeah.
Took that last sip. Hey,
did you see that, Bradley? He ran 90 yards.
Ran for 86 yards on that play. Rockets send Cam Whitmore to the G League. They're in kind of a numbers.
No!
They're in kind of a numbers game right now. They have way too many average to above average players on the team. Which is a good place to be, man. The Rockets. So they send Cam Whitmore to the G League. There was some talk I saw yesterday from people whose opinions I respect that it was kind of like, is it Cam Whitmore or should they send Reed Shepard down to get some seasoning? Reed Shepard's playing
seasoning and some minutes.
Well,
and every, yeah,
yeah, he's playing anywhere from like 5 minutes to 17 minutes a game.
Yeah,
and I think my guess is the feeling is like, look, they're 5-3. The Rockets, they're a pretty good basketball team so far. They need to make decisions based on guys who can help them win basketball games, and I think Reed Shepard is more equipped to do that right now than Cam Whitmore.
Hey, look, you draft a young quarterback in the first round, you play him.
Play
you know,
him the third
you
just overall. Pick.
Let him, let him figure it out on the fly.
That's it, man. That's it.
Yeah, you draft a good. You got a veteran wide receiver like you know that that can help him out and be there.
That's
so
it.
Van Vliet's a little bit like a. Either like an older quarterback that can help him out,
yeah,
or can,
oh yeah,
you know, just the be the bridge quarterback, right?
Right, 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 yeah. Right. Yeah, he's like Gardner Minshew, but he makes $43 million a year. He's a $43 million Gardner Minshew.
I don't know why I didn't play in the NBA. That would have been a
good career choice for both of us. We'd be making
probably
more money.
I was never good at basketball.
No, that's what happened to me too.
So that was probably
because I called the NBA. I'm like, y'all need me, and they're like, no, you suck at basketball. We don't need you. No,
I was a second team All Star in junior high basketball.
You were probably a foot taller than everybody else.
I just threw elbows as much as
possible.
You're
like Frankenstein out there. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I wasn't. I was an average sized kid.
Oh, were
I was
you?
An average sized kid up until my senior year in
late
high school.
Bloomer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why I just learned how to play psychotically to be good, and then all of a sudden I grew.
Yeah.
So you add the psychotic part with a full grown man, and it's a good combo.
It wasn't one of these
kids that was 6'4", 290 in seventh grade.
I hated those
and
kids.
And I never learned how to be tough.
No, right.
I got the snot beat out of me on the regular by older kids.
There you go.
I was good enough to play varsity young, but not nearly physically ready for it. So, like, I took a lot of lumps. Sean.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. And then you became big, and everybody's like, oh, God, he's got receipts. Oh, no.
Yeah. I took it out on all. I went water boy on their
he's
asses.
He's got receipts. Yeah. Rockets in OKC tonight. That should be a fun one to watch. All right, the revised win total for the Texans. We're going to tell you what it is in the next segment. What is the path to the over for the Texans on their revised win total? Can they get there? We'll tell you what it is. We'll devise the path coming up next.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.